TalkZone.com!
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
And here we are, hour number two of the Geek Speak Radio Show on Friday. What is behind me? There was a ghost. Speaking of ghosts, Angel's turn.
Yeah, what about ghosts?
Something you're obsessed with.
Not
Justin Timberlake. Not Christian Bale. Not your Giants even.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Well, I can't admit it. I don't think I'm obsessed.
It's called an addict then.
We had this problem with video games, okay?
I think we need intervention. That's what we
intervention.
Need.
Intervention.
Yeah, hit in the back of the head. Knock it off already. What's the matter with you? That was my mom's intervention. Knock it off. What's the matter with you? That cured me real quick.
That was mine, too.
And it worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. So, no, but seriously, the not obsession. It's just your, what should I call it? You're not obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. We had a long discussion after the show about it because of the guest that we had on.
Maybe a fixation.
Fascination.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna
fascinating. Say. A fascination with the occult, the paranormal. And she told us about the dream she had the other night where her bed was shaking and she wasn't scared. She actually wanted it to happen again.
I didn't say I wanted it to happen. I just said I wasn't scared.
But, like I asked you, what brings this on?
I really don't know, and it's kind of weird because I never experienced anything paranormal. It's something I'm interested in. Not doing, but like researching, checking out, like seeing what, just questioning.
Because I could see it in your face yesterday when I was telling my stories,
mm-hmm.
that you had kind of a jealous look on your face.
Like, not jealous.
How come you get to experience things and I don't?
Not jealous.
You're in a little green. Oh, I think that's because you wanted to throw up, right?
Oh, that was 2 days ago. But I don't know. It was just, I wasn't jealous. I was more intrigued.
So you want to be haunted.
I don't want to be haunted.
I'm
interested.
Ghost.
Casper.
I mean, that's Henry, to answer that question, I think maybe she's just fascinated and that she thinks it's really intriguing. She may grow up to be a ghost hunter. You never know.
No, that was the conversation that we had yesterday after the show, because she was asking me about, is all that true? What Aline Pustani was saying in the first hour, the first guest is about the occult and the Ouija boards and all that stuff that I asked her. Is that true? I said, yeah, it's absolutely true. And conversation got around to like what we just said right now, but more in detail, of course. But, and I asked her, I stopped her because she started asking this, you know, like my son, like asking questions, why, how come, wait, how come, wait, dad, how come? And I said, well, hold on, young lady, hold on a second. Again, not obsessed, but when you start having this fascination, and Aline could have told you that also, when you have this fascination with it, unknowingly, you do open a gate for them to come in. So that's what the first thing I told her is, if you are going to research and do all this stuff, be very, very careful. And if you do it at home. Don't bring anything in my studio.
Yeah, don't bring anything here. Scare Romo.
That's right. I'll be like Scooby-Doo running out of here.
With your ears up, like...
and my eyes bulging. Yeah, my eyes popping out.
No, but when you're not obsessed, but when you get curious about these things, you do open a gate a little bit. And it's not as much as like what Aline said when you play with Ouija boards and get into the occult. The occult, by the way, you were asking right before the show today. See, and it doesn't stop. it's becoming an obsession now, actually. But you were asking, what is the occult?
Specifically.
Yeah, and they would be, in, like, again, like Aline, our guest yesterday, mentioned black magic.
Mm.
Do you know what we mean by black magic?
Well, obviously, like, not
woman.
Not good.
Is it a type of rock and roll? Metal?
No.
No,
that's black metal. Sorry.
We're talking about black magic woman from, you know. No. Anyways, it was just more of a...
Black magic is actually something that I heard of. It's not...
You shouldn't be played with.
Yeah, it's... It's like the dark force. I mean, you're going to say it's, if you believe in the force, it's going to be either dark or, you know, good or evil. So given that black magic, it's something that you do not want to play with because you never know who you're dealing with. I mean, it's the unknown.
See, that's the thing is sometimes you do know who you're dealing with, and that's the problem with it. Because, again, she mentioned it, and I keep alluding to Aline's interview. you guys didn't hear it for whatever reason, it's on talkzone.com. They're all archived on there. And you can listen to what we were talking about, which led to this conversation with Angel and today now. I'll liken it to the genies, you guys know them as. You know, they grant you wishes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not usually three, they just grant you a wish. But like everything today, it costs. Nothing free is free.
Yeah.
This is true.
See, and what it usually costs is your soul, your sanity. Because I was telling Angel, and Aline, again, mentioned that during the interview, not in detail, but I was telling Angel yesterday, is when you open yourself up to these kind of things, whether it's dark magic, whatever it is, then when you start getting depressed, when you start not wanting to do anything, and addictions can be called that, then that's when you probably brought something in, but you didn't really know it. And the problem is, it's very difficult, almost impossible to get rid of them, especially if you don't know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So, having said all that, again, why do you want to know all this stuff?
Just, I like history, and, you know, they do a lot of investigations. I just like the history behind the ghosts or whatever.
Just be careful so you don't become history.
That's true. I'm just a big history geek as well, so maybe that's where my fascination comes from.
Yeah, she has a lot of why questions.
Yeah.
A lot of those why questions could be like, why me?
Why? Ask why.
Yeah. I mean,
drink Hawaiian Punch.
A lot of times, you know, just don't mess with the undead. That's why I don't go to cemeteries. I do not, that's true. I do not go to a cemetery.
At all?
No. If it's someone I know and they got to be buried, yeah.
Send me a picture.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Put it on, tag it on Facebook.
tag it on Facebook.
Right?
That'll be a first I'll see.
Yeah. But still, I don't.
Actually, no. Daniel was talking about that. Did I see the Social Network, the Facebook
movie?
No, but that reminded me what you just said is that is, I mean, you're saying to be funny, but it is true. Funerals, when people die, people have to put it up in there. To me, maybe I'm just old, but to me, that's kind of mocking it because Facebook is kind of a little kid thing to me, even though the whole world is on it. It's still kind of a little kid thing to me. And again, it's probably because I'm just old.
Yeah.
And I actually like talking to humans. What a concept, huh? But to me, it's mocking when, you know, your grandparents, somebody dies and you put it up, oh, pray for my grandma. It's like, really? Come on.
So I should delete my posting then on Facebook? Because I'm with Henry on Geek Speak Radio Show, and I put a GPS map of our studio.
Really?
That's something completely different from what I just said, but
yeah.
Okay. You want to go with that?
All right, so I should delete the posting. You know, people do that. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was trying to get to is, it is disrespectful because, again, it's like, for me, MySpace, it's like, who cares, right? Who cares what you're doing? Who cares how you feel? Who cares where you're at?
Daniel just took your picture and is going to put it on his Facebook.
Right? See? And technology is something. That's all I have to say.
Going
to
tag that later.
Right?
No, but that's Angel's thing, and I guess we'll never get an answer to that. Like I said, just be careful. And everybody out there who's like Angel, you know, who agrees with her. Yeah, I want to find out about it. Just be careful is all I'm saying. But talking to Tom Carr about the Brunder Mansion in Milwaukee got me thinking. I didn't ask this of you guys, and I will ask Daniel, Damien, he's here too. Maybe my son too, but he's experienced everything that I have because he's kind of stuck with me.
Kind of stuck.
But when you go anywhere, a school, church, any building, have you guys ever felt anything uneasy, anything, and you couldn't explain why?
Yeah, definitely.
No.
What a shock. Angel has.
No, I haven't. Daniel, have you?
Definitely in, like, we were pretty sure that our old high school theater, for, like, the drama shows and everything, our high school theater is haunted. We're almost certain about it. Basically, everyone who's ever been in the show there has, like, seen something crazy happen. And one time, for, like, a basketball game, playing in pep band, we needed the American flag, which we kept backstage. So they sent me to go get it and everything. And I hear something and I turn around and I swear I see like this little shade of a face, like looking at me from behind the curtain. So I just grabbed the flag and I ran out of there.
You're
I'm like, I'm sorry. And, like running like Johnny Reb with the flag.
Yeah. The way is it that, cause you have a lot of stories here in San Francisco, a lot of high schools and especially the theaters always seem to be haunted.
The hotels too.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
Like the Queen Anne.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah, but I'm asking you because, Rome, when you were in theater, why do you think that is? Why do you think theaters seem to be haunted a lot?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe it has to do with something, with movie sets. You know, like Wizard of Oz, that was a famous, scene where, people still think that the set of it is haunted. I don't know.
Maybe it's the energy.
It's the happy energy that people
like. That's what I was
going to
say. That's what I'm alluding to, actually, is that could it be that because to be part of entertainment and theater and, you know, movies, whatever it is, as an actor, you do have to exude a lot of energy into what you do. And that attracts spirits, whatever it is.
Well, hey, when a show or a routine is bad, it dies. That's all there is to it. And something gets left behind.
Yeah.
And it's not just that bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they say break a leg. I mean, go break a leg. I mean, a lot of actors had broken legs and, you know, I don't know. I can't answer that question, Henry, but, I mean, for me personally, I have not experienced anything, of the unknown or the paranormal. So
I've never told him this and he's sitting here right in front of me. My son.
Yeah.
He loves going to Toys R Us. There's one here in San Francisco, but I think the one in Redwood City. Mm-hmm. That is supposed to be very, very haunted. One of
really?
The most haunted Toys R Us's in here in
Why?
The Bay Area.
Steve, I've actually heard that it was the one down the street from the Winchester Mystery House.
Yeah, that's the other one.
That's the other one.
In San Jose.
Yeah, that's the one that I go to all the time.
Yeah. Those two are the most haunted Toys R Us's here.
But mm-hmm.
I've never told him, when you go there, you, the only thing?
Because what's weird is I used to go to the one in Redwood City and I would walk in and, you know, obviously look for, because I was a wrestling geek too, so I would go check out my wrestling action figures and such. The temperature just didn't feel right. On one spot, it'll feel hot, and I'll go, you know, where the bikes are.
Cold spots.
See, I mostly feel judgment when I'm walking through the Barbie aisle. That's about it for me.
You judging the Barbies or what?
Maybe a little both. Maybe they're judging me. No, actually, in that one, there's always that sense that, like, you're being watched, because there's in the Santa Clara one, or
especially
the San Jose one, there's like a lot of like corners that you're turning down, and it very much feels like the library in Ghostbusters one.
Uh-oh.
Just down there in the dungeon for that thing.
Have you ever been there, Angel?
No, not yet.
Yeah, that's a perfect description. That's exactly what it looks like.
Really?
The one in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Both of them, that's probably part of it too, but both of them are really huge compared to the other ones that
are in
the
Bay Area. It's like a good warehouse size.
Yeah.
Even looking up, if you look up at the Raptor, it's like there's no ceiling really. It's just up.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And like I have felt in both actually what you felt. Which
at
is the
Toys R Us?
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
that.
And like Danny was saying, when I turn a corner, you just feel it. The temperature just drops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It really can't be like the AC because the ceiling is just so high and everything.
You can't feel anything.
It's all vaulted way up there.
And also, you know, is it possible the energy could be attracted to that energy because of kids? Cause kids have this, what do you call it with ghosts and stuff?
From the descriptions, they do sound like poltergeists. Cause what the reports are is that, especially after closing, when,
a lot of it's, boxes fall.
Yeah.
And stuff.
They fly off the shelves. And you just finished arranging a whole aisle. Then all of a sudden, they all come down. I don't know if anybody's ever reported hearing the laughter afterwards. Cause that's the first sign of a poltergeist when you hear the actual kids laughing and running away.
Yeah. Henry, why is it that a lot of ghosts are attracted to kids?
The energy. I mean, look at mine. He'll 24 hours, he's like Duracell.
He's going and going. Oh, that's energy. Energizer.
Yeah.
It's going and going and going.
Yeah, that's kind of something that I was always interested as far as, you know, I don't know if I had anything following me as a kid, but as I grew up, I felt that you did.
I was following you.
Oh. I just thought it was a creepy dude that was following me.
It was.
Yeah, he is the creepy dude. No, but I always kind of wondered why, you know, as you grow older, it's kind of like you just don't believe in it anymore. I mean, because when you're young, you get scared. And you get scared very easily. I was scared of even Vincent Price's voice as a young age. And when he was on Thriller, it was... But, you know... What do you
get scared yesterday when I played him?
Yeah.
He had flashbacks.
Flashbacks of those haunted moments of my life. No, but I never had anything following me. I do remember people saying that my grandma's house was a little haunted, and they said that it was they would see a shadow, and that's pretty much all I got. I mean, I didn't see it personally.
You asking me why? What are you asking me?
No, but anything. Have you seen anything, Daniel?
Yeah, that shade that we were talking about in the theater. But no, I'm pretty sure that there's something in my house as well, because my dog is deaf. Let me just say that. Like, he's full on, he's stone deaf. He's 15 years old. And he doesn't really hear anything unless we're like really loud and like yelling at him to get out of the trash. but it'll be quiet and everything, and there'll be really no sound, and he'll be the only one to like poke his head up and like notice that there's something like way down the hall. And we'll turn around like, you know, there's nothing there. There's never been anything there, but he's always looking just into that hallway and everything.
It's a well-known fact. Animals can sense what we can't.
Oh, sure.
Earthquakes.
Yeah.
What else?
Any disasters. Because, see, that's why we brace her. Because here in the neighborhood, and it usually happens around 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning sometimes, a lot of dogs in the neighborhood, they just start howling, just for no reason at all. And so we brace, uh-oh, earthquake or something. Usually it doesn't happen. Maybe it's a really, really small one. But at the same time, every time you have had the big ones, not that we're destroying anybody, but when we have had bigger ones, and for us big is like, you know, 6 and above, because like here in California, in San Francisco especially, you feel 1, 2, that's nothing. Yeah. Truck probably went by. We're used, so used to it. But when it's big ones, we do hear them, and they're really good. Matter of fact, I remember my nieces, who used to live downstairs from where we used to live, they had a little dog, a little puppy. Oreo was his name. Aww. And the last time we had a big one here, he was going crazy. He had his own area in the back porch. He was going crazy, running around and around, and sure enough, 3.5 minutes later, boom, it hit.
Now, is this the Loma Prieta one?
No, this was like last year, a couple years ago, I think.
Okay.
Whatever the last big one was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they sense things. So have you ever seen anything wherever your dog is looking? Have you seen anything?
You know, I've never seen anything in the house. But there are, yeah, my room is always freezing. And my dad's room is always freezing. And my dad's room, I should actually say, used to be my grandfather's room, and that's where he passed away.
In the room?
In the room. So it, you know, could be anything in there.
Because to me, in my mom's house, my dad, to me, the official report says that he passed away in the hospital. But to me, he passed away in his house, in his room. And my mom, to this day, still lives in that same house. When I go there, I don't feel anything there in my dad's house. But I will say this, speaking of my dad, the day he died, that night, everybody went to make the arrangements. I was sitting in the kitchen. Now, imagine me sitting at the kitchen table. To my left is a long hallway, and at the very end of it is my mom and dad's room. And my dad used to get up, and I would hear the bed creak. He would slowly, you know, swing his legs over the bed, put his slippers or shoes on, start walking down the hallway, you know, go to the bathroom, come get a drink of water, and say, hey, what are you doing? And then we just start talking. I'll show him what I'm reading, what I'm doing, and that was it.
Unless you could hear him coming down.
Yeah. That night, like I said, I was by myself in the kitchen, and I think it was eating or doing something, and everybody had gone to start making the funeral arrangements, and it was quiet. There was nobody in the house. I heard the bed creaking, just like always. I looked, and at first it was nothing, because, you know, in my head I just said, oh, it's my dad. And then I just, you know, glanced over, and I saw his shadow getting up, putting the shoes on, and start walking down the hall. Then it hit me, like, wait a minute, just died this morning. And so I don't know who it was, because I ran out of the house and didn't come back till my mom came back. But I've never seen anything or felt anything since that night.
After that whole that moment, did you feel good about it? Like, oh, like, you know, he's okay? Or was it more like, no, oh, just a shadow?
Yeah.
Really? Because what's weird is I'm thinking back, and I had a lot of deaths in my family, but I would look at the
deaths
clock.
Deaths or deaths?
Deaths, multiple. And I would look at the clock when I was at school, and I just didn't feel right. I would get nauseous or something. I would look at the clock, and that's when I found out they passed away. But I was never in the room with them. I would just feel nauseous and just feel weird. And it would be at the time they would die.
Well, death is a very weird thing. I mean, us humans have a hard time coming to terms with it. And a lot of times I think that's what makes humans very interested in going to horror movies to get scared. I mean, is because also one thing you have to understand is we are always interested, maybe for you, why you're interested about the unknown or ghost or paranormal is probably because it has to deal with death. I mean, you said you had a lot of death in your own family. Maybe that's probably part of it. You think so, Angel?
Yeah, that actually is part of it. Just wanting to know, is there a heaven, or knowing, oh, is there actually an afterlife? And if so, what is it like? that kind of side. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to turn into a witch right now and do all this crazy spells and stuff. But that's a little bit of it.
She does like Hermione after all.
Yeah, I love her.
She's talking about running for Congress. There's that too.
Wrong witch. But anyway, let me take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this because Rome was getting scared again. You know, wanting to have another accident.
Uh-oh.
How about comic books?
Guys, like
there's
comic
one big
books?
Event going
about,
on
in
New York.
Can we talk about ghost comic books?
Maybe.
Okay, good.
But we'll see what happens with Bumble. So stay there. We'll come back. Talk comic books. Don't go anywhere.
Geek Speak Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Quick, turn up the sound.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Spoiler warning ahead.
Check it out.
You're listening to the Geek Speak Radio Show.
No one's going to stop it.
On TalkZone.com. Here's Henry and Romo.
And we're back on the Geek Speak Radio Show. Stop scaring Romo already. Right, Romo?
Right.
Right.
I'm not that scared.
What did you do to your microphone? You sound funny now.
No, I sound perfect. I'm just talking right into it.
In his mind, at least. Anyway, so like I said, let's talk comic books now. Something we like here on the Geek Speak Radio Show. As you all know, because those of you who are there, of course, know it. Comic-Con. New York Comic Con is going on right now in, what do you think?
New York.
There you go. So, who's playing with their microphone?
Angel.
Broke it. So that's going on in New York right now. It's going on all through the weekend. And a couple of things going on over there at New York Comic Con. It has nothing to do with the other one that happens in San Diego. It's completely different. But this one is New York Comic Con. First of all, the Hero Initiative. You had a whole day with them here. They have booth number 333. They have the Dawn perfume on sale over there. They're showing the Archie comic covers and New Avengers number one for the first time. And they also have whoever won the bidding on eBay, the lunch with Joe Quesada.
Yeah.
And all of that benefiting the Hero Initiative. That's and they're going to have special guests in their booth, of course, all week long. So if you guys get a chance, go ahead, go on out there, go to the New York Comic Con. Support the Hero Initiative because they gave you hours of entertainment. Give a little bit back.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good cause. I actually like it.
The other thing happening at the New York Comic Con is this is actually on Sunday at 11 a.m. A couple of brothers that you and I know, Romo. The Lagos brothers, Alex and Joseph Lagos. Remember they mentioned it when they were here talking about Sons of Liberty? They're going to have the exclusive panel on Sunday at 11 a.m., and they're also going to have the illustrators, Steve Walker and Oren Kramick. They'll be on there to talk about, what else, the Sons of Liberty, and they'll talk about probably whatever they can about the sequels. I think they've worked a little bit more on it than when we had them on.
Yeah.
But they'll definitely talk about the book that's out now, the one that you guys all took from me and read as soon as you heard from them.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah, so they'll be on there. You can check their Facebook page, and again, all this stuff is all linked up still on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com, so you can go on there. The Sons of Liberty panel, exclusive panel, is happening Sunday at 11 a.m. So you can get to see it and hear Alex and Joseph Lagos out there. Another thing here today, only today, friend of ours, Al from Al's Comics here in San Francisco. We go there a lot and get our comics from there. He is having what he's calling gotta make rent sale today only because, you know, for obvious reasons, gotta make rent. But everything is half price. Graphic novels are all $5. I've got a link to his website on geekspeakradioshow.com so you guys can go on there today only. His gotta make rent sale at Al's Comics here in San Francisco. So if you're here, go on out there, support a cool guy.
Good. Cause I gotta go buy the new Kick-Ass 2 book.
There you go.
Nice.
Also, another friend of the show who will be on Tuesday, David Glanzer. Ape is coming in a couple of weekends. Alternative Press Expo from the same people who give you WonderCon and Comic-Con. And they announced a couple of days ago, and I told you guys about it, but let me tell you again in case you didn't hear it, the Comics Collaboration Connection, which is pretty much what I wanted to do here, but they're going to do it there at Ape, is basically bringing together artists, writers, artists. It's just a big powwow for everybody to network and, you know, hopefully get your comic published or done or completed. So So that'll be happening the 16th. Go online at comiccon.org or geekspeakradioshow.com. The links are on there also, and you can sign up and get your stuff published.
Yeah, I can't wait to go.
Yeah, again, we're going to be there also. And again, if you guys ever wonder what Romo looks like, what I look like, what Angel looks like, even what Damien looks like, you can find out that day because we'll be there. So that's it, comic book wise.
I wonder how much a comic book used to, I mean, for me now, I could spend around $10 and only get like around 2 comics. And it's like, I kind of find it interesting how before people would pay $10 and get like 30 comics. Very interesting that I can't wait. Can't wait. I'm going to go to Oz Comic.
Let me get my cane out. But when I used to get my comics, I used to go with $5 and I could get about 10, 11 of them.
Yeah. Cause right now I'm trying to do the math in my head of what comics I should get and how many I can, you know, afford.
Is that your way of asking for a raise or what?
No, but, I'm excited. I'm going to go to Oz Comics afterwards. So I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah. He's having his, gotta make rent sale today only, by the way. Well, as far as I know, he may extend it over the weekend. Depends on how much he sells today, but definitely today at Al's Comics here in San Francisco. And if you don't know where it is, again, the link is up on geekspeakradioshow.com.
Nice.
By the way,
yeah.
Producer Dave, something that producer Damien was telling me about last hour. DC announced that they're dropping all comics to $2.99, and Marvel's expected to drop the prices also.
Yeah, actually, I just read it from G4. I just read it from G4 that $4 books are now going to be a thing of the past for Marvel. No, new books are no longer going to be $4. So they're going to be dropping that down.
$4 now?
Yeah, brand new titles essentially were $3.99. So that's going to be gone now.
Well, good. So there you go. See, put that on your computations.
Yeah, one thing I also found out on Halloween, they are going to be, I think it's between DC or Marvel, but they're going to be giving away comic books at your local comic book store. They're going to mass produce some, you know, cheap ones, you know, not to say they're cheap, but they're not going to be the ones you expect to get like the $5 comic books, but they're just, you know,
it's going to be like free comic day.
Yeah. They're going to give out some comic books and, that's going to be cool. Halloween.
Except you have to pay. They won't be free.
But I think it's kind of cool. So go to your local comic book store and hopefully they'll be giving you a comic book.
Well, this is supposedly happening because of digital comics because they're being so successful that they're forcing them to drop the prices.
Yeah.
So that they can have people buy the print.
I think it's a great thing. I mean, for me,
yeah.
I could buy some and not download them because it does suck.
Daniel, you're new here. Let me ask you this.
Digital
comics, you care about that?
As far as subscribe, I've never really gotten into subscribing to digital comics. The most I've ever done is when Marvel puts up their digital comics in the Read It Now section on their website, and I haven't even checked out those in a long time. So that I think that's saying something on that. Even as far as printing them in like PDF form, that, you know, that's something that I don't regularly check out. When I go shopping, I go to pick up books because I like reading through it. I like waiting and I like seeing what's going to come up.
Yeah, that's what I was actually trying to ask you is, do you prefer the feel?
Oh yeah. The feel of a book is really what goes into it. Cause, you know, it's the whole idea of having it, of knowing that you can, you know, you really can't give a kid a PDF.
Yeah.
You got to give them that book. That's what has to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've been trying to read some comic books, that I downloaded and, I'm not liking it. The way you have to, it takes more time just to get the image actually closer than to actually just, you know, look at the page. It's been, one annoying adventure, I would say. But, yeah.
Well, actually, it's because of the digital comics doing so well that it allows them to lower the prices. In other words, they don't need to sell the print because the digital comics are doing so well. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing because, I don't know. We'll see. But let me take a break right here. When we come back, I want to talk about news of the week because we had one day off and we have no buzz report today in case you guys haven't noticed. So we'll talk about some of the things that happened during the week, especially something with a guy in tights. So no, not the guy across the street over there. It is San Francisco after all, but you guys know who I'm talking about. We'll be back.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back. Make us a favorite button on your browser.
If you click it, you'll go to that page.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the internet. Let's get back to the GeekSpeak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we're back on the GeekSpeak Radio Show. A Friday.
Yes.
Fun day. It just turned into the all boys show.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Angel decided to play babysitter for a little bit. My son is playing out there, reading or doing something. Doing something. So anyway, we're back on the GeekSpeak Radio Show. We are talking comics. We're talking Halloween. We're talking just whatever. It is Friday after all. We're just going to finish it off on a fun note. And like we were saying a minute ago, just spit out on me eating Halloween cookies. Well, shouldn't eat while I'm on the air. But I was saying
they're
a minute
so
ago.
Good, though.
Yeah, the reason why these the comic books are going down in price is because they can. Because the digital comics are that Daniel and I were talking about a minute ago, they're doing so well.
They're destroying the print.
No, that they're not doing anything. That it's actually a good thing if you want to look at it that way. Because the digital print comics are doing so well, they don't need to sell the print to make a profit.
Wow. Oh, I see. Oh man, that's now that gives me a reason to go buy the print Mac comic books instead of downloading them because I want people to start. I don't want this to go away.
When this digital thing first came out, the only good thing I saw from this is that portable now. Now you can have it on your phone, like the one that Angel has. You can have on the tablets that are out there.
Yeah.
Instead of actually lugging, you know, the big white cardboard boxes to grandma's house or your friend's house and say, hey, here's my, boom, here's my collection. Just bring it up on your PC, on your computer. Boom, there it is.
Yeah, because comic books are also suffering from what, you know, print newspaper are coming to terms with and that they can't compete and that, you know, the internet is just destroying it. So that totally is a blow for, you know, for all comic book lovers.
I don't know, because newspapers, it's a different reason why they're all dying out. I mean, what can newspapers do? If you guys were newspaper editors, what would you guys do to make them survive, newspapers?
Really, have more interesting stuff to talk about? I don't know.
It can't be that because one of the main reasons is because everybody gets their news on the web, on their phone or wherever you have the access to the web. So it kind of like what you were saying in the last segment that you like, or you or Daniel, one of you were saying that you like waiting for the print to come out.
Yeah.
Same thing with the newspapers, but with news, it's so instant that people just want, you know, instant access to it on on your phone, on your PC, wherever you get your news from.
Yeah. I think it's just that they have to change with the times, and so now that the times are so going viral and electronical, people are going to have to go that way, or the companies are going to have to change to give what the people want.
Well, I mean, I think right off the bat, you guys are thinking about it way too much. This internet thing is not going to last. It's going to go the same way as smallpox and polio, so we don't have to worry that much about it. As for newspapers, really the way you got to keep it going is those value issues. Right now, consider that the how much a copy of the San Francisco Chronicle on election day or on the is going for right now, that Obama win issue. Think about something going back to that war issue of the New York Post.
You know what's going to be a really valuable one?
What?
If the 49ers ever win a Super Bowl. It'll probably be the first and last time they ever do it.
Yeah, that is going to be valuable.
If a Bay Area team wins a major, major event, because we can't count on the Sabercats anymore.
Yeah.
That's the shame right there. No, I'm serious. Not since like 95 or 92 has there been a major world championship in the Bay Area. So, you know, good luck, Giants.
Actually, that was 94.
94? Ah, potato potato.
Actually, that's concrete or whatever this is, not wood. So, look over here. I'm wood.
All right.
I mean, you never know. Sports. I mean, you're not a sports guy, Daniel, right?
I'm a Raiders fan. That's what matters. So I've been struggling.
So, yeah, he's not a sports guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Every day is Halloween. Going back, we trailed off a bit there. Going back to what's got to keep newspapers going right now is really something that they can just sell to their ads.
So long as they can keep readership up, so long as they can find a way to make it interesting.
Speaking of ads, I think it's very funny because we were looking at the, like, I was looking back at my X-Men comic books from the 80s, and inside there were some interesting ads, and I just got really nostalgic. Man, I remember, you know, Sky Hoops trading cards, and it was very cool that it lasts. It's timeless, you know.
I still have like a whole bunch of my like trading cards from Marvel Universe, DC Legend, all of those the trading cards things, and it's just, you know, because I was encouraged to buy it from the ads in the book. But the thing is, you've got to get a reason to get those ads into the book, and without the readership, without anything to inspire the readership, you know, that's going to be the real trouble. There has to be something that's going to be exclusive to the paper and not on the website.
Yeah, that's true. So that's what maybe that's what comic books should, especially print comic books, should incorporate, so they could get more of a sale instead of just relying on digital comics as their main source. It's true.
I guess, but what you're getting, cheaper print comics because of the digitals. They're doing so well. But here's the thing. That I don't get into the digitals. How does that work? Do you have to pay for it, or how do you get them?
I'm not doing it either, but I think it's a subscription thing.
Yeah, you set up an account. And
basically,
then,
you can just go to it. Either you go to it or it's sent to you via email, and either way, you're able to check it out on your computer. You can put it on your mobile device.
It's a PDF file.
PDF, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring it to reality like I always do. How about when people start hacking this thing and just...
Oh, they're already hacked. There's already, you know, you can already get the books way ahead of time. It's, you know, so long as they're printed in digital form, you can get them.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, there you go. See, and again, this is why, again, maybe I'm just old, but that's why I like the print versions.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
I don't like the spoilers. I knew something was back when Spider-Man changed helms, I knew that something big was going to happen, and I'm glad that I didn't know ahead of time that it was going to be the whole thing with Mephisto and all that stuff. But I'm upset about that it happened. I hated that change and everything. But I'm glad that I was able to read it happen instead of finding out that it was going to happen beforehand.
Speaking of, Mephisto may be in the Ghost Rider sequel movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they're calling him the devil.
He was in the first one, wasn't he?
Sort of, but here they're
for like your heartbeat.
Yeah, and here they're making him more. They're not calling him Mephisto, but they call him the devil. But still, we all know that's who it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So you may be in the Ghost Rider.
For me, I'm just shocked that they even want to have a Ghost Rider 2. I mean, the movie. So that's mostly the thing.
Ghost Rider
like,
only has to really worry if he's going to take the elevator in that case.
Yeah.
You never know. There's a lot of remakes right now, so.
As far as the Ghost Rider movie, I didn't have a real problem with it. I certainly would have recast Cage as someone else. I'm not going to take the time to think about it right now as to who. But the real part when I realized that this movie is going to be worthless was when Ghost Rider was just able to power through Blackheart's little cronies and everything, and when they introduced Blackheart, when he just did his slow walk up and then did like the scary face,
yeah,
basically like giving him an introduction instead of just letting him appear. Yeah, the fact that they created a whole separate sequence for that is really what told you that they are not putting the heart into this, and this may as well be straight to video.
Yes,
it's true. I mean, you never know. I mean, Ghost Rider. For me, I didn't like it. Was the effects. Do you have anything do you think the effects that of Ghost Rider was CG?
The bike stuff was fine, but the real big problem was making Ghost Rider himself believable. And when I went to see X-Men 3 in theaters on opening night, and we were front row, as soon as Ghost Rider appeared, the audience burst into laughter. They were just not buying the way that they made Ghost Rider look.
Yeah, because it was Nicolas Cage.
Well, not even that. Well, yeah, they laughed at the fact that Nick Cage was going to be in this, but they laughed
Ghost
at
Rider, so.
The actual appearance of the Flaming Skull, because it just did not look, it did not look up to par to something that they could do for their A-list.
It looked like
titles.
Something that came from a 1930s, 40s Disney or black and white thing. Just the skull with, moving its mouth up and down.
Yeah.
And in today's, CGI age, you can do better than that.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, kind of like I mentioned it one time when the Scorpion King came out at the end of the first, I think, with the second Mummy movie.
Yeah.
It's like all that buildup, really, for this?
The whole time I'm thinking that, oh, wow, they're going to get The Rock and he's going to fight again.
Yeah.
But instead they have this giant scorpion thing come out. I would have been find if there were giant scorpions or if he like had super strength and like could like shoot stuff and whatever. Yeah. But the fact that they melded that together is really what ruined that. And we wanted to see Dwayne Johnson be a badass. That's what that movie was all about.
That's why we went there.
We didn't go to that movie to see the canon of the Mummy. We went to see Dwayne Johnson, you know, we didn't play the smacketh down.
We didn't go to see the Mummy for the canon of the Mummy, the first one.
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
The same reason. I went to go watch the Tooth Fairy because I wanted to see The Rock. The Rock could, he's awesome. But I do see what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. So let me take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish off the week and the hour by talking about, like I said, the news of the day, a lot of movie news. So we'll do that in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back. Non-stop talk radio, streaming 24 hours a day.
Whoa, what am I hearing?
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
Attention all bases, this is
the GeekSpeak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we're back on the GeekSpeak Radio Show. Let's finish the week, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, so, a lot of news. Biggest one, of course, being The Man of Steel. Superman, The Man of Steel, the reboot. Zack Snyder's directing it.
I thought you were talking about the Extends guy for a second.
No. Okay. No, the reboot. Zack Snyder finally, after a list of, seemed like everybody, even Ben Affleck was thrown in there, to direct the thing. Zack Snyder will direct it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Oh man, like I said, he directed 300. That's all I can say in The Watchmen. I mean, I think he's going to do a great job.
As far as a comic book storytelling director, Zack Snyder has definitely got to be on your short list as far as that concerned. As far as story wise is concerned, you know, I'm fine with it being a reboot. It definitely needs to be after the last movie.
Yeah,
but the villain is really setting me off a bit because we've just seen it too many times and it's going to be General Zod.
Well, what's also scaring me is that I'm hearing reports that the actual script is being rushed. And, you know, and even he said, Zack Snyder said it's not going to be, you know, he's kind of worried about it. He's not really pleased with what the script is saying. So hopefully they could change some tweaks here and there before they do go to production. But, I have to agree with you, Daniel. The villain is what is going to sell it. And I actually just watched Superman Returns like earlier this week. And you know what? I realized I didn't like the movie and I watched it with Daniel and you can still see.
Took this long to realize that?
No, but I saw it with Daniel, Damien, and you can still see the blurriness of the parts where the 3D, was slapped on. And, I'll just have to say that, who was it? Kevin? That played Lex Luthor in Superman Returns.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. It was just one of those. He didn't do a good job. He didn't sell it. It wasn't believable. Hopefully they just have they pick a really good person
to play.
You know what I think
the problem was with the Superman Returns movie is it tried and it made it obvious that it's a continuation of the 1978 films.
Yeah.
The case, they may as well have just gotten, you know, Gene Hackman to redo it.
Yeah. See, that was the problem is that too much time has passed. Yeah, the Us, it's an iconic film. To anybody that, you know, Superman fan or not, it's an iconic film, period. So when you try to, it's like, for example, somebody 30, 45 years from now tries to do another Star Wars, long after George Lucas releases the rights and everything, it's still going to be the same, even though it's a new Star Wars and, you know, 40-something years have passed.
No, it's not.
See, if someone to remake Star Wars would be possibly the greatest challenge of all. What I would be much more in favor of is someone taking the time to do a film of the novelizations of some of the sequel or like the book sequels or even just some of the early Sith War stuff. That's what I would personally be interested in right now. But as far as Superman, they've really got to distance them as far as possible from Superman Returns.
Yeah.
And they can't really go off anything of the Richard Donner movies at all.
See, now what I was going to say about the Zack Snyder, not casting, but the decision to make him direct this thing is that I didn't get excited one way or the other, quite honestly. was kind of like when Joss Whedon was announced as being a director for the Avengers, and we had that whole discussion that morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really get excited, and you know, a lot of movie studios, you know, sell the movies that way, from the director of The Fugitive, director of that. Okay, they directed that movie. This is not The Fugitive.
Yeah.
Just because he was good at one thing doesn't mean they're going to do it with that. The same thing flows over into what we do, radio. A lot of radios, there's one radio station here in San Francisco, in fact, that same person who ran a very legendary station here, but that was a long time ago, is trying to recreate that magic somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's not going to work because you don't have the same ingredients you had then.
Yeah. And
what really matters in a movie like this is not so much that it's from the director of, so much as it's from the writers of.
Yeah.
With a comic book, with all comic book movies, with all fantasy movies, sure, it's great if you have a director who has the vision, who can really make it look the way it needs to be, but you need to have someone who can at least tell the story.
Now,
if the storyline is not believable, if it's too out there, audiences aren't going to follow it. But it's
when we had Jeff Loeb, what did he say?
He said it's all about the characters. You got to believe. You got to have a reason to want to believe in them. I don't know. Do you think that just because Christopher Nolan's name is being waved around and that he's giving the okay that it's going to be successful just because of who he is? I mean, given that we should pay more attention to actually what the script is about and, you know, the underlying tone that the studio wants to push it out really fast, so they don't really care.
Well, no, they have to push it out because, like I mentioned the other day in the Buzz Report, is they're facing legal action if they don't have something in production by 2011, next year.
Yeah, and what's the legal – do you know anything about the legal action part?
Yeah, basically they own the rights right now to Superman,
uh-huh,
but it's still owned by the heirs, meaning, you know, the descendants.
The heirs of Schuster and Siegel.
Yeah.
Mm. And but you're talking about Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What would I say?
No, they –
yeah, Warner Brothers. No, I thought I said another movie studio, but yeah, but Warner Brothers, they own the rights right now. They're the ones also that did the other ones. What's it called? The one you guys saw, Returns. Returns.
Yeah.
Well, they've done all of the Superman DC movies in general since Superman 1.
You know, hopefully they do a good job. I mean, I can see the rush for it.
Well, like I said, they have to, because if they don't have one in production by next year, then they can get sued because it's
going to go back to the original owners.
Yeah.
Man. Well,
personally, I'll be happy so long as Tom Welling is attached to the product. As long as he ends up becoming Clark Kent, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I was going to say is who should we see as Superman now? We've got the director, but what about Superman?
See, now is this – see, one thing that I was really, really looking forward to Superman – and, you know, Batman 3, too, is I wanted the storyline to be set up where we may have the Justice League later on in the future. Or we may have Batman
versus
Superman.
Speaking of, let me interrupt you. Before we started the show, there was not breaking news, but there's rumors coming out of there's rumblings from New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Supposedly somebody let slip that the villain in Batman 3 is Killer Croc.
Killer Croc. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's like, let me think. Let me see here.
I mean, we've had all this talk about the Riddler, but then to do someone that, you know, more ancillary, a villain, and who at least was touched upon with the Batman animated feature that they did just before Dark Knight is going to be interesting to see, because at least it's not someone who's too over the top like the Riddler, but it's still just believable enough in Killer Croc.
And again, this is only a rumor.
Yeah.
But
allegedly.
The only reason why I don't believe it, I shot it down the second I read it, is because in many interviews, even before Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan has always said that he wants to keep it grounded in reality. And Killer Croc, yeah, depending on how they do it, but he's a pretty fantastical character to put in Christopher Nolan's universe. That's the only reason why I shot that down right away.
Huh.
But there, like I said, there's rumblings going on, supposedly coming from New York Comic Con, that is who the villain is going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't think it's true.
And a lot of people there, they say that it kind of makes sense, because if you remember, I reported that it's going into production in New Orleans, Batman 3. So
see, what's I could in see the swamp? I could certainly see it as like a side villain, the way they had the Scarecrow in just the beginning of The Dark Knight. It's something that could be done early on, but there's not enough known about Killer Croc amongst general movie audiences to really build a movie around him.
Or even the comic book, I mean, fans, they really want people that they grew up watching, and that's what's going to bring people to buy these tickets. You know, that's what's going to put money into the box office. I personally think they should bring back Catwoman. I mean, that's who I want as a villain, and that's who I want.
Now, do you want Catwoman in there, or would you just be happy enough with Selina Kyle?
Catwoman.
It's got to be Catwoman.
I mean, it has to be a really good villain to top the Joker.
I think,
and especially Heath Ledger. I mean,
good luck.
I think it needs to be Vincent Price's Eggman.
Hey, yeah.
And then we're gonna force you to watch that. That's what's gonna happen,
right? I mean, or you could just bring back Arnold Schwarzenegger's performance as the Iceman.
Hey, now he had some of the best one-liners in film history of all time.
I know he is around 100 at this time.
Okay, let me stop them there, because the next thing you know, they're gonna be saying that Jim Carrey did a good Riddler. So next thing, the next thing is not casting news or anything, but the official title for Transformers 3 is Transformers: The Dark of the Moon in 3D.
Yeah, I mean, come on with The Dark of the Moon. I mean, that's a funny name for me to begin with. Couldn't they think of something else more clever than Dark of the Moon?
I mean, going on just the title alone, I'm thinking there's either a base of Decepticons on the dark side of the moon. There's they're gonna stop the moon's rotation and do some sort of goofy thing with that, or they're gonna Mr. Burns it and build one giant Decepticon that blocks out the sun so that you've just got perpetual day. I think they're gonna do that.
Well, the villain is Shockwave, and that I think that has something to do with the title.
Yeah,
nobody knows what this has to do with anything Dark of the Moon, but that's what it's called. The other thing before we get out of here, Sam Raimi is officially directing Oz the Great and Powerful. Don't know if Robert Downey Jr. is involved, but he is directing that.
That's the big rumor that for Downey as Oz, yeah.
But
hopefully,
like I've said many times, really, just leave the Wizard of Oz alone.
See, I beg to differ. I'm happy with the original Wizard of Oz film as the musical and everything like that. But so long as they're doing something a lot closer to the bomb books, to the original stories, and because that's the talk, is that they're going to do this as a series of films, going with the actual.
Yeah, because Franco Baum wrote a series of books, and it wasn't just
The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. There was also Return to Oz there, and there were so many books after that as well. There's so much to the Dorothy story than just the Ruby Slippers.
But we'll see. So, running out of time. Before we do, let's recap a little. Dr. Arnold Blumberg on Monday, Jeffy's Entertainment Museum in Baltimore. Aline Pustanio, Cortland Hull, Tom Carr, thank you for coming on the Geek Speak Radio Show. Next week, and have Monday off. We'll take it off because it is a holiday. If you don't have it off, well, hey, even more reason for you to listen and make your day just go by that much faster. But we'll be back on Tuesday live. We'll hear from David Glanzio, tell us about Ape, and maybe give us a little bit of news about WonderCon, and maybe too early, but Comic-Con perhaps also. Eileen Dietz, if you guys don't know who that is, Exorcist. Wasn't Linda Blair crawling down the stairs of the spider. It was her. We'll hear from her next week also. And, of course, more surprises and us. So, till then, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.